Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. There aren't many places in print where you can still get what they call the long read, but one of them is North and South magazine, which this month is celebrating its 25th anniversary with a special issue. We're joined by the magazine's editor, Virginia Larson. Virginia, you first started at North and South in 1992, and you've come and gone a couple of times since. You're not the only one who's been away and come back to the magazine, eh? What's the appeal?
We just seem to, you know, it's just that how many places do you get to write those kinds of stories? I mean, I was sort of away for a little bit for having a baby and then helping out on a business startup for the family venture, but I was never very far away, so it was, you know, 6 months here and a year there. But no, it's too irresistible for writers.
Yeah, because you actually get to write at length, which is increasingly rare.
It is. I think we're probably the last magazine really doing those long form stories every issue.
Because even your sister magazine, Metro, the Auckland North and South, if you will, has shortened its features.
I think it has changed. Yes, probably certainly from its original. The original Metro, it is different. Yes, they do, you know, they are still doing some pretty gritty stories, but they have a lot more focus on lifestyle, food, wine, events.
Do you think it's the length of the stories that attracts the sort of journalists that are going to turn around the stories that end up giving you, you know, what North and South has delivered over the last quarter century?
Well, I mean, you don't just put a long story in because it's got to deserve the space. But I think by having, and we have staff writers, you know, another increasingly different position because so many magazines now are all freelance.
And when we're talking about writers, I was surprised reading the 25th anniversary issue how many well-known names have been through there. I'd kind of forgotten, for instance, although I probably shouldn't have, that Rosemary McLeod was a fixture.
Yeah, she was, you know, in the early years, besides doing some of those really big crime stories, big social issue stories, her column just... it used to infuriate and delight people in about equal measure. And if you look back, there'd be letters saying, you know, outraged from Martin, I am cancelling my subscription forthwith, and yet others would be completely behind her. And looking back now, I mean, but they really were very provocative.
In the first few months, I was also intrigued to be reminded that it wasn't at all provocative, the magazine. It was very much a country manner sort of magazine.
And
then it changed quite markedly.
Yes, I think it had a very brief sort of country tweedy jackets beginning and thereafter it became, you know, very much longer stories. I mean, it certainly set out to be different from Metro. And if you think it was those kind of Glass Towers, Chase Corporation days, there really was Auckland and the rest of the country. I mean, many would argue that is perhaps still so, but I think the edges are a lot more blurred now. But there were a few. I mean, it always had a certain amount of the horsey stories and the, you know, get out into the countryside. But it very, very soon became clear it was going to, you know, tackle some pretty major issues.
What are the big stories been, do you think? What are the ones that are really are the keynote for the magazine?
Well, there were a lot of there was a lot of good, very good in-depth political coverage, but I think you'd also look to those stories like James Fokaruru, the death of the little boy in Hawke's Bay that Deborah Coddington did. You'd have to look at Cave Creek, Erebus covered a couple of times in 10-year gaps. Stories, a long series of stories on the NCEA right from the very beginning, when, you know, before it was introduced into the schools, and just following that through with a diversion to Cambridge High School, where we really looked at those very dubious credit gathering stats in about 2004. And then probably Mike White's revisiting the Sounds murders, the Ben and Olivia story. And that really was the first time, that was when we ran that, I think 2007, that was the first time Gerald Hope actually said, look, he had doubts about the way the investigation had been handled. So, you know, that's just at the start. There's been a lot of, you know, a lot of fairly big seminal stories.
We've seen other magazines that were once known for their investigations and TV shows that were once known for their investigations slowly crumble to the whims of ratings and publishers and that sort of thing. Has that been a constant struggle for North and South?
Well, I think from the 80s, I mean, the newsstand is just so much more crowded. Some of it is just people have so many other choices. But I think the fact that we are still, you know, our latest readership figures are well over 300,000. And, you know, they're good readers. They're people who, the magazine gets, has great pass-on factor. But we get letters from people who have it sent from mum who, you know, it turns up in London. So we know that it's well read. And clearly there is still some appetite for a longer story with a bit of grunt to it. I mean, you know, I don't think the shrinking attention span has, you know, spells our doom by any means.
But you don't get weekly phone calls from the publisher saying, right, I need more yoga on the front cover or that sort of thing?
No, look, and we're lucky at the moment. We have a CEO who's into, you know, as a publisher who loves magazines. We're not being run by someone, you know, who's come out of the timber industry or something. So thank goodness we've got somebody, we've got that kind of support behind us. But no, I mean, I've got a really clear line between what's editorial and what's not. And we, you know, you've got to be a lot more business minded now. You would know, you know, and whether you're in whatever kind of media, and you've certainly got to be watching all areas of your business. But I've never been told, no, you can't run that story because it might upset somebody important.
I think that's a really good segue to talk about your iPad app, keeping your eye on all areas of the business.
Oh, that's true.
I'm sure Russell wants to discuss this.
finalist in the On Your Awards last week.
How about that?
Indeed. Yeah, no, well done. I think it's interesting, though. I think people might be surprised that a magazine that has had a relatively conservative image was out ahead of the pack in this and onto this new platform. Why did that happen?
Well, I think the company did actually see, I mean, we're a magazine company, not a newspaper company, and I think there was a definite conclusion that the tablet was going to be the best digital home for magazines, as opposed to, I mean, I think some of the magazines have been down the website route, but, you know, North and South hasn't, and it's quite clear and that it somehow feels right for magazines. The quality of the pictures is fantastic. The way we're doing it by sort of taking the magazine apart and sort of putting it back together in a digital form means you've got all of that opportunity to slip in your little videos. If you have a fantastic, photography essay, on print, you just can only run it so many pages. Then you've just got to stop. Whereas by running, you know, with the iPad and the tablet, you've got that ability to run all those extra images. I mean, it does really open up opportunities. I think it's quite a long way before people completely move from... I think in magazines, print's got quite a long future. There's something about holding a magazine. It's got sort of a tactile factor to it. But I think in terms of where to go next, that was the right place.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say that the iPad is not exactly a cash cow for you at the moment.
No. Look, I don't think anybody expected it to be, Russell. It's, you know, I don't know what the New Zealand numbers are. I haven't really seen how many owners of iPads there are. But if you're not there, you know, wouldn't we be silly to be just sitting on the sidewalk saying, oh, we don't want to be there, you know, we'll stick with print, it'll be there forever. I mean, it's absolutely the place to go. And I don't think there was any assumption that it would suddenly be a flurry of, no, it's an investment for the future, basically.
I can tell by the way you're talking, are you one of the few editors in this country who's currently sitting on a profitable magazine who's not watching your back every 2 minutes?
Actually, the company is, you know, there's nothing wrong with magazine business in our area at ACP, and you know, I don't think
things have got thinner though.
Definitely, and you know, the teams are tighter. If you look back on North and South Metro, the listener, at how many staff used to be on, say, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we're a lean, mean machine. I mean, it's absolutely true. But no, we're not going to be the company's cash cow by any means. But we are still we're making a profit. We're selling magazines. We're getting advertisers in. It's a quality magazine, and hopefully they reflect, you know, that's reflected upon their advertisements. And we seem to be, even in pretty tough times, we seem to be doing okay.
And thank goodness. I was going to say thank goodness for Auto Trader then.
And Woman's Day.
You mentioned your very good readers before. Do you know much about who they are? Have they, for instance, aged with the magazine? Are they the same people who were reading it 25 years ago?
Well, interestingly, we plan this year to do it, you know, to actually get out and survey again, because I think it's very easy to just kind of think you know people entirely. I would say we are unashamedly a slightly older age group. We're not going after, you know, Gen Ys by any means. We certainly, I think there's a group that have aged with us, but I think we keep tweaking the magazine to bring on board younger readers. A lot of it is kind of a stage of life. You know, if they've got a stake in the country, if they've got the house, they've got the kids, they want to know what schools. Once they get to that stage, they come on board. So it may not be just age. It's kind of a lifestyle factor as well. And certainly we know we sell disproportionately higher numbers of copies outside, you know, in the regional area. So I'm we make our travel budget. We stretch it to the last nth. I mean, I am never not going to have writers and photographers out there. We're not, you know, we want to have really homegrown. We want the writers to go and do those interviews face to face and get photographers into all corners of the country. I think that's vital.
Virginia Larson, thank you very much, and here's to another 25 years.
Hey, thank you.
Virginia Larson, editor of North and South there. After the break, and Emerald City.